Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station. Your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday, and that is a good thing. We hope that you are having a great day. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we're going to be going through the Word of God here for the next half hour. Right now, we're looking in the book of Titus, chapter 1. That's back towards just a little bit before Hebrews, say, you know, two-thirds of the way through the New Testament, maybe three-fourths. And we're going to be looking at the things that God's Word wants to teach us. So instruction is very important, but character, heart, all of those things are very important as well. So I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to our services this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We are going through the book of Acts, and then worship will be at 10:30, and that will be a message that God lays on my heart. So I'm looking forward to being back in the pulpit on Sunday, where I was gone last week. We were off celebrating a family member's milestone birthday, and didn't want to miss that. So we would be honored if you chose to worship God with us. Our theme for this year is treasuring God's presence, and the word that I shared on yesterday's broadcast, that's a word that is resonating within me, and that is that we are to be stewards of God. We're supposed to be stewarding on God's behalf, but we also need to steward our relationship with God, with the number of challenges that I have faced this year on not ministry, but the business of doing ministry, the practical aspects of things that you've got to do, and like insurance companies that decide they're not going to do insurance anymore, and then having to find replacements and all of that sort of stuff. It's been a challenging first couple of months of the year from a time constraint where my schedule is already very full, but I've set myself to say, you know what, I am going to be a steward of God and steward of his peace, steward of his word, steward of his joy, steward of his compassion, and so those are things that I am intentionally setting my heart to raise the bar in my life. It's not like I never did those things, but I see a new importance in that, a fresh elevation of that in my life. And I pray that you won't have your pastor or your worship leader or your church leadership or your teachers. I pray that it will not just be that you're expecting them to be stewards of God and you do not have any responsibility. I pray that in 2025, you will say, this is my most important assignment, to steward the presence of God. So, you want to go back and see a sermon that I did on that, you can go back into our Facebook page and you can watch that. So let's go to Titus chapter 1. I will begin reading in verse number 7, and it says, "For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. So, we're going to pick up here where he starts off, and he tells us there are some behavioral characteristics that should not be in existence in a bishop, an overseer's life. And I will start off and say this. If we are stewarding the presence of God in our life, then these are things that are going to be moving away from us. We're going to be escorting them to the door and giving them a trespass notice and saying, don't come back. I don't want this in my life. And hopefully, the longer you've walked with God, the less that these are showing up in your life. But if we've never dealt with them, then they may still be, residing in a corner someplace. So the first one is not self-willed, not self-willed. And that means, according to the Greek lexicon, looking up the meaning of that word. Now, whenever you read that on the surface, you're going to see not my will, but your will be done, O God. And our will is a driving force. The soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Many of the people who are not believers are not believers because they can't believe. Many people are not believers because they will not believe. They refuse to believe. And it would be great if we could say that Christians have won the battle of the will and that they move forward under the direction of the will of God. But there are a lot of decisions that we make that may be heavily influenced by our own will. So there are three voices in the Spirit. There's the voice of God. We always want to do what he has for us to do. There's the will of the devil. We don't ever want to do that. And then there's our own will. For the Bible talks about prophets who prophesy out of their own spirit. And that's the dangerous one because it can mimic the sound of God, but it will be reflecting a will that is accommodating to our flesh, not under the Spirit of God. And the way that you learn that lesson is the way that I learned it. A lot of times we learn it the hard way. And we go and we don't get the results that we expect. And when we don't get the results, then we have to go back and debrief. We have to go and say, what happened? How did I get the recipe wrong? And if we get that wrong, we're not going to get the results. And then you go back and you check the Word of God, and you see, oh, the results that I got were because I used a process where I thought it was God, but that plan actually is in contradiction to the Word. And so I got the results of putting a carnal plan in place. When I was just a kid, I would have been somewhere probably in junior high school. Now it's called middle school. And I decided one morning that I was going to get up and I was going to make pancakes for the family for breakfast. And we didn't buy, frozen pancakes, and we did do frozen waffles, but my mother always made pancakes from her own recipe. And they did not turn out well. And so I'm not a cooking expert, but Here is where I think I made the mistake. If I get these ingredients wrong, you'll understand how I got there. But I believe that the recipe called for baking powder, and I confused baking soda with baking powder, and I didn't get the result. And my mother said, you got the proportions right, you just used the wrong ingredient. And if we use our will instead of God's will, we're not going to get the ministry results that we want. So other aspects of this word manifest in characteristics that are labeled this: stubborn and arrogant. Stubborn and arrogant. Self-willed as opposed to controlled by the will of God. So there is a worldly expression of stubbornness that finds itself demonstrating with a stiff-necked approach to obedience to God. And you just can't hardly make the person make a godly decision because they're stubborn. It goes with, it's coupled with arrogance, because it means that that individual is not teachable, and so they think that everything is right, but instead they are resisting. You know, Paul was told on the road to Damascus when his name was Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, the goads, the prodding that a shepherd would use to try and get the sheep to move a certain direction. And it wasn't for violence sake. It was to cause the sheep to realize that it is uncomfortable to go in a dangerous direction that way. And so the shepherd would, give it a poke of encouragement, if you will. And most of the sheep would change course and go where they were supposed to. But a rebellious sheep would just continue to go on and do whatever it wants to. And then the shepherd would have to go find it and all of that sort of stuff, because he would find himself in a bad place. So if you are like me, and I tell people I have the gift of stubborn, I come from a long line of people who have a personality of stubbornness, but I use mine to be stubborn for the things of God instead of stubborn against the things of God. So that makes a huge difference. That causes you to persevere when giving up seems like a better option. Being stubborn for the things of God says, I am not so arrogant to believe that my way is better than God's way, and so I will continue to bow my knee. I will continue to follow his leadership. And so if we're going to be effective ministers of God, not only do we need to be stewards of our relationship with God, but we've got to be led by his will. We've got to be led by humility. We've got to be led by obedience instead of stubbornness, arrogance, and our own will. The next two adjectives are actually, they have a tendency to be coupled together. One leads to the other. And that is that it says not self-willed, not quick-tempered. Not quick-tempered. I like to watch some documentaries, nature documentaries. Normally, I like to, if I can watch them without the sound on, where, the commentary may not be something that follows along with the Word of God. I can draw my own conclusion from the videos that I see. But I watch these videos of hippopotami, and they are known to be some of the most quick-tempered animals on the planet. And I watched this one where one of the babies was being attacked by a group of crocodiles, and it enraged the entire group of hippopotami, and they ended up, you know, killing a crocodile or two. They managed to ward off the attack, but in the process of them dealing with the enemy, their anger had gotten the best of them, and they were responsible for killing the baby they were trying to protect. The Bible tells us to be angry and sin not. And that's because unless it is righteous indignation, and I will tell you that we can label things righteous indignation, but I wonder actually how many times it is actually indignant for the things of God instead of just we're mad because of the way something happened to us. I try very hard to keep myself under a very tight rein because you know, what was it? I think it was the Hulk said, "You wouldn't like it when I get angry." I could have that quote attributed to the wrong fictional character, but you wouldn't like it when I get angry. I don't want to be a person who is quick-tempered. I want to be like God, who is slow to anger, who's patient and long-suffering. And so if we are going to be stewards of God's presence, we have also got to realize that we need to keep our emotions under God's control and use them to build the kingdom of God instead of using them as weapons to beat people down. So that means that this not quick-tempered means that it is a person who is inclined to anger. And that means that the natural leanings of that individual are to anger instead of peace, vengeance instead of mercy and forgiveness and grace. And so we need God to come in and reacclimate our life so our inclination is towards God and towards godly emotions than it is to carnal expressions that are going to drive people away from God. So, I said that the next two are coupled. The one that is coupled with it is not given to wine. Not given to wine. And the meaning of that expression is addicted to wine. And the term wine was used to describe a fermented drink. It was designed to, it refers to a beverage that will lead you to, or could lead you to being drunk. And at that point in time, your resistance levels are lowered. Your thresholds of responses are lowered. And then you are compromised, mentally, to where you may make bad decisions. So if you know a person who is addicted to wine, you don't want them to be your designated driver. I know that because there was a person in a church that I served in. The young lady was going to Bible college. Before she went off to college, she had a boyfriend who was an ungodly boyfriend. When she came home, on Christmas break, she went to a party. This guy was there. He forced her into the car with her. He was drunk, and they both ended up dead in a ditch on Christmas Eve. And so I've in my family, I know what the end of this road looks like. I know that it looks bad on relationships. I know it looks bad for ministries. I know it looks bad in, you know, for lifespan. I've got a number of relatives who have died from the complications of being addicted to alcoholic beverages. Here are the word for wine. There are two words for wine in the Hebrew. There's two words for wine in the Greek. One of them is a fermented drink, which is the word that is used here. Another one is a word that is used to describe a diluted wine where it's more water than anything else. And it was a non-fermented sweet drink. That water was not a abundant supply, drinking water, that is. And so they would produce this drink that was not designed to get you intoxicated. Here's the problem. If we are addicted to something and then it influences us and leads us into a lifestyle of violence, that can be a problem. That can be a problem. And so we must not be violent people. A lot of times you'll hear people say the bully pulpit, and they're referring primarily to a political use of their platform to speech. My pulpit is used to preach the truth of God's word. Sometimes people will not like the truth of God's word in this modern era. I'm not afraid to preach the truth, but I still want to preach the truth in love. So last year when we were doing our redemptive compassion, it was a reminder to people that God wants to reach and save all sinners, and the way that we do that is we preach the truth in love. So the next one could actually manifest itself as a contradiction to the other two that we just described, because those two that we just described have a negative impact on a person's wallet. So the next one is not greedy for money. And so this is the last of the negatives we're going to talk about for a while. We move on to some more positive characteristics. And we live in a society where people think that money is what they can rely on. History is filled with examples of societies where money was valued one day and then you couldn't use it the next day. It was, you know, somebody came in and conquered, and all of a sudden the currency of, you know, a previous society is now considered worthless. This not greedy for money means that it was a person fond of dishonest gain. So I will tell you this. Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon was the spirit of money. It was the spirit of money under man's control instead of resources that are blessed by God, where he pours out more than we can contain, and he rebukes the devourer for our sake. So in the kingdom of God, when we are stewards of God's resources, we honor him with 10%, God makes the 90% go farther than the 100% would have made or been effective with had we not honored God with his part. So I read this story recently, and it was talking about a guy who bought a pound of butter. He was a baker, and so he would barter with this dairy farmer who made butter. And so from time to time, he would bring a one-pound loaf of bread, and the other guy would bring him a one-pound container of butter. And the guy who was getting the butter felt like it wasn't quite a pound, and so he weighed it, and sure enough, the pound of butter did not weigh a pound, and so he took the butter vendor to court and, you know, presented his case. And the judge said, is this true? And the butter manufacturer said, I have a standard which I weigh the butter by, and I just assumed it was right. And he said, well, have you had it calibrated? He said, no. He said, well, how do you do it? And he said, well, I'm supposed to get a one-pound loaf of bread from the baker, and so I put it on one side of the scale, and then I put butter on the other side of the scale, and I assume that the loaf of bread I'm getting is 1 pound, and therefore the loaf or the butter must be 1 pound when the fulcrum is in perfect balance. And all of a sudden we see that the person who was actually doing a dishonest transaction wasn't the butter vendor, it was the baker. The reason he didn't trust the butter guy was because he was dishonest. Back in biblical times, they didn't have designated currencies. They carried around these weights, and what would happen is sometimes people, when they were buying a product, they would use a heavier weight and identify it as 1 pound. Use that as an example. And then whenever they sold it, they would use a lighter weight. So they would buy more than 1 pound, and they would sell less than 1 pound, and that just increased their profit margin. The Bible says that we are supposed to have just and equitable weights. I want to encourage you, you are not your best financial resource. God is. And any time that you are tempted to skirt the issue, change the standards, cheat somebody else for your own advantage, that's not going to enable you to be able to serve in the kingdom of God the way that God wants you to. And so I pray today that we would all be stewards of God's presence and his resources. We would be led by his will, not our will. We would be humble and teachable, not stubborn and arrogant, that we would not be given to wine, we would not be quick-tempered, and we would treat money in an upright and forthright manner, use it to be a blessing to God, to others, and he will bless us as a result. God bless you. You have a great weekend. Hopefully we'll see you at church on Sunday. If not, we'll see you here Monday on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve.